athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Look, got a lot to get to. March is truly madness. Congratulations to Norfolk State for winning the CIT tournament, or the collegeinsider.com tournament, and a lot of opportunities. Look, if you look across the landscape of HBCUs in basketball, there's been a lot of postseason play for men and women. You look at Alabama A&M postseason play, Grambling State postseason play, and I mean the women, because we know that the men were in the tournament. I mean outside of the NCAA tournament, where you get the automatic bid, because remember, the NIT took away the automatic bid. So whereas Norfolk State would have played in the NIT, or the National Invitational Tournament, and look, Norfolk State had a good season, won some big games out of conference. You never know what could have happened in that NIT. Nonetheless, won the CIT, so congratulations to Norfolk State. And Robert Jones, the head men's basketball coach of the Spartans, going to join us today here on Box to Row. Also joining us today here on the program, Langston. The Lions lose a heartbreaker on Tuesday in the NAIA National Championship game. NAIA National Championship game, and a heartbreaker lost by the Lions to Freed Hardman, 71-67. Now the Lions had some opportunities. It had a 13-point lead in the second half, could not hold on to that. Even had a 6-point lead with 50 seconds remaining, couldn't hang on to that. Probably some bad calls also down the stretch hurt the Lions as well. Chris Wright just completed his second season as the head men's basketball coach of Langston, 35-2 on the season. That's following up a 30-plus win season last year. So Chris Wright, the head men's basketball coach at Langston, also going to join us today here on the program. Plus, I'm going to have some thoughts on where things are in the NCAA tournament, as we're looking forward to the Elite Eight the Final Four, actually will be Final Four, will be next weekend. It's like the season, it's like a long season, right? Like when I think about college basketball, it seems like a long season. And then all of a sudden, you get into March with the conference tournaments and then the NCAA tournament, and it goes just like that. I mean, I really enjoyed watching some of those games, and I've gotten more into it the last 3 or 4 years or so. I enjoy watching the games on Thursday during the day. Of course, you've got the Thursday night games this past Thursday. But when it opens up, it's the Thursday games. And it's just good to watch some college basketball and see what some of the other teams that everybody seems to be talking about are doing. Look, you can participate here on Box to Row. Hit me up via Twitter at Box to Row, B-O-X-T-O. R-O-W, or on Facebook, B-O-X, the number 2, R-O-W. The HBCU Women's All-America team has been released, and you can check out that team at BoxToRow.com, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that team later on in the program. As we continue here on Box to Row, we're joined by a gentleman just completed his second season as the head men's basketball coach at Langston. And I'm going to tell you what, he's been a head coach for 11 seasons. And of those 11 seasons, he has led teams to 20 or more wins 8 times, including three straight 30-win seasons as Langston finished the season 35-2, unfortunately fell in the NAIA championship game. But he's gracious enough to join us today here on Box to Row. Chris Wright joining us on the program. What's going on, Coach Wright?
Hey, appreciate you having me as always, sir.
No, it's I'm glad to have you. Just your thoughts. Wednesday had to be tough. You were right there in the championship game and, you know, played well, just couldn't quite pull it out. Your thoughts on that championship game and the loss to Freed Hardeman?
Hey, you know, Freed Hardeman's really good. Giving them a lot of credit. But yeah, that one hurts, being up 6 with, you know, under 40 seconds to go and not pulling it out.
Yeah. Take us through that. Because I actually had like maybe a 13 point lead there, in the second half. What kind of happened there in that second half overall?
Well, hey, obviously you got to give, Freed a lot of credit. But you know, we had some turnovers that led to easy buckets and, you know, we just we didn't guard the way we did the other 5 games of the tournament. So tough.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. Down the stretch, I mean, I realized there was a turnover. You had a turnover, but there was seemed like one of your players, and I don't remember who it was going to the basket. There was some contact there, and there was no call. And that, again, we're talking about down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we talk a lot about that with our guys, right? You know, we don't even want to give other people a chance to change the outcome of games. And so, you know, we put ourselves in a bad spot, and, you know, the ball didn't bounce our way.
How would you characterize this season? I mean, look, 35-2, making it to the NAIA National Championship game. How would you characterize this season as a whole?
Well, obviously, it was a huge success. Anytime you can go to the national championship game, it's huge. So, man, I'm proud of our guys. We have really good people. And, you know, 2 days later, I'm still here, you know, really hurting for them.
Yeah. What about – can I talk – last year, you a building block, first year in. As a matter of fact, the previous year, Langston had won – one basketball game. You come in, win 30, what was it, 32? I think you were 32-6 last year. How were you able to turn the program around beginning last year?
Yeah, so, man, last year was the single largest turnaround in the history of college basketball. And so, man, again, it starts with players. It starts with, you know, having a great deal of talent, but getting guys to buy into, you know, to their roles and to our culture.
Chris Wright, again in his second season as the head men's basketball coach at Langston, joins us here on Box to Row. Let's talk about some of those guys. Anthony Roy, I mean, he's a guy that led you in scoring at 18.4 points per game. You know, talk about what his play meant to your team this year.
Oh, he's a first-team All-American, conference player of the year. I mean, Ant is as talented of a guy as there is, right? You know, I think we'll see him back at the Power 5 level next year. So we're going to miss him. But, man, I'm extremely proud of the year that he had for us.
Yeah, speak to that. I think I saw where he – not last year, he was at a JUCO, but the previous year he was at, what, New Mexico, where he had some success.
Yeah, he was like 11 a game in New Mexico State. So, yeah, a guy that's produced at on the biggest level.
How do you go about obviously he's already, I guess he's already told you that he's going to, I guess, enter the transfer portal and play at another school. How do you go about replacing him, and maybe talk about some of the other players that you expect to come back and step up for you?
Yeah, well, you know, our deal with Ant was if he came here, take care of business in the classroom, right, stay out of trouble, and we would help him go back Division I. And so he's done that. And so, Obviously, we're going to help fulfill our end of the bargain. But yeah, we lose a lot of guys. We lose 8 of our top 9 guys next year. And so, yeah, we better get busy and have a lot of work to do.
That's true. But I mean, you got busy 2 years ago and were able to. So I have no doubt. Take us through what that maybe looks like. If you've got to replace 8 of 9, how do you take us through the process? How do you go about doing that?
Well, you know, I think we have a great niche, right? We're the only HBCU in the state of Oklahoma. And, you know, we want to get Division I players that fit our culture. And so, you know, we have no doubt we'll be able to do that again. But, yeah, it's a lot of work for sure.
Chris Wright, the head men's basketball coach at Langston, joining us for a couple of more moments here on the program. What's the secret to your success? I mentioned 11 years as a head coach, even before Langston at Talladega, where I think it was, 4 years at Talladega. I mean,
yes, sir.
20, almost 30 win, well, 130 win seasons, a 28 win season, going to the NAIA tournament. Like, that was a regular thing for Talladega. What's the secret to your success?
Well, you know, we've been very blessed. We're 98-11 the last 3 seasons, obviously, with, you know, 2 appearances in the national championship. You know, again, it starts with talent, starts with really good players. I think our culture is special. And, you know, I've been at 2 places with very supportive administrations. And so anytime you win big, you know, you wouldn't be able to do that without a great team effort.
For you, do you take a couple of days, kind of decompress, and then kind of get back after it? What's that process look like?
Man, that's a great question. You know, I allowed myself to be pretty miserable yesterday, so I pouted around, moped around, and, man, today we're back to work. So we got a lot of guys to replace, and, you know, we know how hard it is to get back to the national title. So we're going to do everything we can in the next, you know, calendar year to have a chance to get to do that.
Chris Wright, again, in his second season as the head men's basketball coach at Langston, joining us here on Box to Row as the Lions finish runners-up in the NAIA tournament. A fabulous 35-2 record on the season. Coach Wright, we appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Lions.
Hey, you're awesome, sir. We appreciate the coverage, and thank you for having us on.
We appreciate it, Coach Wright. Still to come here on Box to Row, my thoughts on where things stand in the NCAA tournament. But up next, we're going to be joined by Norfolk State head men's basketball coach Robert Jones as the Spartans win the CIT.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Dante Jackson giving us a couple of moments here. The head men's basketball coach at Grambling. Was the tournament all that he thought it would be?
Oh, it's everything and more. Like, you know, I've been to the Division II tournament at Stillman, and now to be at the Division I, you know, tournament, it is a total different situation. I mean, man, I did more interviews than a little bit today, but you know, I got to make sure I got to find time for you. Got to find time for the person that was interviewing me when nobody else was interviewing me.
we really appreciate that.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinancing through Rate Genius, and when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341. 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit worthiness. Value of the vehicle on term and other.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Clocking the dough. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting.
The Norfolk State Spartans, I'm going to tell you what, really got it done in postseason play, winning the CIT. And it's a really, really big deal as we're joined by the head coach of the Spartans, Robert Jones, in his 10th season as the head coach of the head men's basketball coach at Norfolk State. Joining us here on the program. Congratulations, Coach Jones.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, what did it mean? I had a chance to watch the latter part of that game, the win over Purdue Fort Wayne or Fort Wayne Purdue. Your thoughts, first of all, on that game and the victory.
Yeah, it was Purdue Fort Wayne. You had it right. You had it right the first time. They used to be IPFW, and then they changed it to Purdue Fort Wayne. So I don't know what happened to the I, but it's just PFW now for them. But yeah, man, that was a good. They're a good team. You know, they came into the game. You know, their net ranking or their KenPom was like 150. You know, in the country, 153 or something like that. So they were the top 40% of the country. You know, so to go out there and get a win against those guys was tremendous. You know, obviously they had us down big in the first half. We were able to settle down, get our bearings right, and able to win that game. But it was just good for the program, good for HBCUs in general to get a postseason championship. Most HBCUs don't get a postseason championship or in any tournament. So it's good to get one.
Yeah, taking away your thoughts, you know, taking away the automatic bid from the NIT, which you would have, I mean, you would have been in the NIT, and you had some really nice wins against non-conference opponents this year.
Yeah, I mean, the automatic bid for the NIT really was terrible, you know, honestly. And of course, it hits us on the year that we actually win the regular season and don't make the tournament. So, you know, we felt full, you know, the full brunt of it this year with the new rule change. So, with that being said, you know, if you win the regular season, obviously you have a pretty good basketball team, and we wanted to continue to play, and so we decided to play in the CIT. And you know, the things that I told the guys was that if we're going to play in this thing, then we're going to play to win, and we were able to do that. So we were able to win the tournament. That was great.
You felt like you probably would get some – it's like a bunch of – and I think what's great, there are a lot of postseason tournaments. You were actually able to play Alabama A&M. When you look at postseason in Division I basketball, the women, you still got A&T women that are playing, Alabama A&M, Texas Southern. There's a lot of postseason basketball available – for HBCUs. You had to feel like you were probably going to get into this tournament, and you got a first round bye.
Yeah, we knew we were going to get into something because both the CBI and the CIT called us. We just chose the CIT. You know, that was just a preference for us. But so you're looking at really a total of 132 teams that get you to play postseason out of 363. You know, that's so really a lot of fans don't understand. Well, if you didn't make this NCAA tournament, you know, it's like, what are you playing this for? Well, only 132 teams get a chance to play, you know. So that's like, you know, what is that, top 30%, top 40, you know, that you are, yeah, that you get a chance to play in the postseason. So if you're able to do that, then why not do that? You know, I think that we've become so bougie, and especially at some places that we can't play at any postseason unless it's an NCAA tournament. Well, we're not Kentucky. You know, we're not North Carolina, you know, and not just Norfolk State, but mid-majors, HBCUs, or whoever in general. You're not on that level where it's like NCAA tournament or bust. You know, it's, if you're able to play postseason, it's great. I don't know where this bougie quality came in with people that you can't play in any tournament other than NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But what? Okay, so why the CIT? What was the difference? Why the CIT?
The CIT was going to, like, the CBI was going to be all played in Daytona, you know, which is, I mean, it was a nice city, you know, so there's nothing wrong with that. But the CIT was giving us a chance to be able to play one of our games at home. And we wanted to take advantage of that, you know, to be able, because, you know, we finished the season 15-0 at home. The championship game wasn't always going to be played at home. You know, the first round, yeah, it was going to be played at home. But then when IPFW kind of relinquished their rights to play the championship game at home, we jumped on it.
Robert Jones, again, the head men's basketball coach at Norfolk State, joins us here on the program. He's in his 10th season as the head coach at Norfolk State. When, you know, it's interesting. What is it about? Anything can happen in the MEAC tournament. What is it about Howard? You know, it's 2 years where Howard was able to knock you all out of the tournament.
I don't think there's nothing about Howard. It's just a coincidence, you know, about what happened. Because, you know, and not taking another way from Howard now, but we knocked off Howard, I think, 3 years in a row at one point before they knocked us off 2 years. So it's like, it ain't really nothing with Howard. I don't have any ill will with them or anything like that. I just talked to Coach Blakeney yesterday when, you know, he called me about the CIT championship, you know. Now, is it starting to be like some kind of rivalry between our fans and the players? I don't know, maybe. Because of what I think the rivalry is shifting. Before it was a lot of us central rivalry type thing. And then now it seems like it's shifted to like a us and Howard rivalry. And that's just like a lot of it is like, you know, media and fans making it like that. Because, yes, Howard has, you know, eliminated us the last 2 years. But if you go back and look at like the records, you know, like it's not even close, you know, as far as what they you know, the rivalry aspect of it. But once again, like I always say, man, shout out to Coach Blakeney, you know, who got it done 2 years in a row. And, you know, we'll see what happens next year. But, you know, there's no ill will to me towards Howard that maybe other fans or alumni might have at this point.
Just can you speak to your tenure, you know, and at Norfolk State and the success that you've been able to have, and then what most comes to your mind?
The success has been great. You know, I think that for me, it's really the sustained success, I would say, because, you know, I talk to a lot of coaches, you know, throughout the country, whether young, old, you know, things like that. And there's a lot of coaches that might all of a sudden have a good year, you know? And the thing I challenge them to do is like, do it again, you know, really, you know, prove your merit. So I take that theory into my career too. You know, as far as do it again, you know. So we've been doing it again for 11 years. You know, it's not like we've been, you know, had one good year and then we fall off the face of the earth. You know, like since I've been here, we're the only team that hasn't fallen under 500 in conference play. You know, there's been teams that have been at the top and have fallen to under 500 records here and there. And we've been fortunate enough to never do it, you know. So it's like, once again, it's I always tell anybody, the things I tell other people is things that I live by myself, you know. So it's like South Carolina State had a great year this year, right? They had a great year. Shout out to Coach Martin and things like that. The thing I say is do it again, you know, like, you know, how, you know, you'll see how hard it is. And for me, what I take out of my coaching journey is that sometimes things are underappreciated, Donald, you know, for me. I think that because of the do it again mantra that I take, you know, some people don't know how hard it is to do it again. So, and again, and again, and again. So, I take a little bit of like, you know, I still kind of have a chip on my shoulder. I still feel like underappreciated to a certain extent about how hard we work. I saw somebody put up a tweet today and it was like, actually when you're in the moment, you kind of don't understand what's really going on. I would say for me, but they put up like, the last 6 years, we're 125 and 66 with two NCAA berths, an NIT win, a CIT tournament championship, and an NCAA tournament win. You know, that resume could go against almost anybody in the country. You know, but because we've raised the expectations that high for Norfolk State, it almost flies under the radar that people don't realize how hard it is to do it again, you know, and stuff like that. And so that's the thing I take out of my coaching journey. And probably the biggest thing, you know, when it comes down to wins and stuff like that, I don't have like a favorite win per se. For me, maybe it's the win over Alabama, you know, in the 2019 NIT, because we were such an underdog and was able to win that game on the road. But, you know, like I don't have like a really like a specific win that or something like that that I would say like, oh, that's the, you know, that's the pinnacle right there.
Because you've been able to build this program in 10 years, the successes, you just listed them right there. Other schools have to be contacting you about their head coaching positions. Do you entertain those, whether they're offers or interviews or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, you know what? What I say is that there have been schools, including this year, have contacted or offered their position. But the thing that most people don't understand is it's probably not as much as it should be to a certain extent. You know, even though I'm ultra happy at Norfolk State University, they treat me well. Dr. J and AD Melody Webb, you know, they treat me well. You know, they take, you know, everything is taken care of and things like that. But once again, when you list the successes that we've had as a program, in theory, if Norfolk State would say, I don't know, Iona or something like that, right? Then people would be beating down your door from like the Power Six conferences to come snatch you. It's an unfair rep that MEAC teams, MEAC players, and MEAC coaches get, you know, that you have to like, once again, go back to the mantra, do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again before you get a shot at what you would say in quotes, a bigger opportunity. You know, there's folks in other leagues that have done, you know, just call a spade half of what we've accomplished here at Norfolk State and get opportunities at these big Power Six jobs and things of that nature because the MEAC gets an unfair rep. Like, there's people out there that just think that we just play against the MEAC schools. And the MEAC schools, once again, are better than what people think anyway, but they just think that you just play against them and you're not beating anybody else. But like you said, to start off this whole conversation, look at our non-conference this year. We beat VCU, right? VCU got to the quarterfinals of the NIT last night.
Yeah.
We beat Illinois State. I'm not quite sure how they finished up, but they were, you know, they might have finished the middle of the pack in the valley, right? We beat South Dakota State, which was a 15 seed this year in the NCAA tournament. We beat them by 22 this year, you know, and they were a 15 seed in the tournament. So, you can run down a list of different things that we've done, and it still kind of gets overlooked because of this HBCU MEAC stigma, which is very, very unfair to the coaches and players. Because, like I said, some of the stuff that the players have done, some of the stuff that coaches have done, if we were anything else, half of it would have been like you'd have been at a statue built by now.
Hold the line for me 1 second. We're talking with Robert Jones, the head men's basketball coach at Norfolk State. More on the other side.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, you know, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people. You know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high, you know, high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on a national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith.
It's my sincere hope that when my ride ends,
I'll get a big hug and a big thank you for what I tried to do for other people when I was at the top. Because that's all you have to lean on at the end of the day, bro. I mean, I plan on being successful for years to come, but it ain't gonna last forever. And, you know, when my day comes, when it's the end of the road and it's time for somebody else to be in my seat, in my chair, you know, it's my hope that whoever that person or those people are, people that knew I cared about them and believed in them to help them get to this place.
Hey, Spike Lee.
Thank you. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've been on radios all over the nation. Thank you for that question. I'm a third generation Morehouse man. I was taught to speak your truth, and that there's very special about being a Morehouse man, the same way you feel about your school, the same way we feel all about our respective historic black colleges. That would have been my first choice anyway, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse man.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
The one and only Michael Strahan.
Always good to talk to you. Hopefully next time it won't be, what, 14 years. You can get to it. Man, you know what is good? And you're encouraging people to be better and do better. And that's what I love, man. So thank you. I appreciate you.
As we're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school. And after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
I think the first thing that comes to me is responsibility. With recency and kind of the social, the racial issues that we're having that have really come to light, which is, I believe, are good things. I think that it's a responsibility for me to be the first manager of color for the Dodgers. There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me, Clay, in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. You Football League has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have going to Division I.
NBA All-Star Chris Paul.
That was great to bring it back to Winston-Salem State University, a black college. Something that my city had never seen before, may never see again, and just having a up close and personal feeling with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Melo. It was exciting. I'm grateful for those guys coming out.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car and I was driving it in the first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE. The strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row. Real, relevant radio. We're talking with Robert Jones, the head men's basketball coach at Norfolk State, here on the program. And Coach Jones, listen, it was a great point you made on the other side. You mentioned, no need to ask you further, you said stigma. I was going to ask you if there is, in fact, a stigma. You, in fact, have said there is, as I think we know. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it's... that's got to be super frustrating, right? Like, you sound like that way. It's got to be super frustrating. Look, I know you're happy at Norfolk State, but to the point, you know, you I'm sure you feel like, hey, there are some other offers out here that I should be getting that are a little better than what I'm currently getting.
Yeah, I think anybody feels that way with any profession that they're in, right? If you're a partner at the, not a partner, like just an associate at a law firm, you want to be partner. You want to own one. You know, you want to like keep moving up that chain. Even though you might be happy being an associate at the law firm, you want to eventually make partner. You want to, you know, things like that, right? So, you know, I'm more than happy at Norfolk State. But as a Division I coach, you see some of these coaches, let's just call a spade, making generational changing financial figures. It's not just life changing. Some of these coaches are making generational changing. You know, you get guys making $7, $8, $9 million a year for 7 years. That's going to change not just their life, but their children's lives, and maybe the children's lives if things are done the right way, right? So you see that happening, and you're like, I'm just as good as some of these guys. You know, as a competitor, you know you can do it at that level. You know, the one thing that sometimes people say, man, and I've heard this in an interview. I'm not going to say which school said this because, you know, that would be bad, right? But one school asked me, well, you know, you're doing such a great job, you know, at Norfolk State, and you guys hardly have any resources. You know, how do you think you would do with more resources? And I'm like, well, how do you think you would do if you had more money in your pocket? Like, if you have $1,000 in bank account, somebody gives you $1 million now, like, do you think that life would be better? You know what I mean? With a million and you had $1,000? It was like the weirdest question that I probably didn't give them the answer that they wanted to hear because I was so almost taken back. Like, what do you mean if you give me more resources, how would I do? Probably better, you know? Like, maybe, probably even better than what I'm doing now. But it was like, those are the questions that you get, you know? Those, like, that's the perception that you have. It's like, it's almost comical sometimes. And once again, there's a couple schools that have offered positions throughout the years. Sometimes it wasn't the right time, or sometimes, you know, the terms didn't make sense to do because, I have a great situation at Norfolk State at this point. So it's, you know, you have to, if I was to leave, everything has to be right. You know, the school, the resources, the terms, everything has to be right because why leave a great situation that I do have, you know? But there is a stigma. Donald, I will say that again, it's a heavy stigma because there's no way you could put my resume, even like Lavelle's resume, you know, against any kind of mid-major coach in the country. And if you didn't say, okay, they coached at Norfolk State or they coached at Howard or Central or Morgan or whatever the case is, if they just took a blank canvas, there's no way that an AD wouldn't choose our resumes over the next person's resume. But because there is not a blank canvas, people choose differently, let's just say.
No doubt about it. Coach Jones, we appreciate the time. Last thought, and by the way, to your point, that stigma permeates throughout not only athletics, but other work areas in terms of HBCUs as well. Would you consider and I'm not saying you should, I'm just asking, an assistant job at a bigger school? And I don't know that helps, but I'm just asking the question, is that something you would consider?
You know, it's crazy. That probably would help, but that's unfair, right? You know, it's something that, like, okay, if I went to be an assistant coach, I don't know, Baylor, right? Okay, forget it. Like, they're almost going to forget everything I've done at Norfolk State, which has been a lot of good things, as we know. All they're going to see is, oh, you're associate head coach at Baylor. Yeah, we want you, man, because you're at Baylor. But, like, wait a second. I just got 211 wins at Norfolk State, you know? But it's like, it's stuff like that happens or too often that, you know, once again, we get overlooked, you know, to the utmost, which is totally unfair. And nothing wrong with the assistant coaches at any of those high majors because, you know, I'm sure they do great jobs and stuff like that. But if you already got a sitting head coach that's used to calling timeouts, used to calling plays, running a program and has success at that, then why are they looked at lower than as a high major assistant coach, right? You know, I've been in searches that I was almost insulted, honestly, because I was the only head coach. It was like, I was a head coach before the assistant coaches. So really, I'm like, well, hell, I should win this one right away, right? But they're looking at these assistant coaches as high major coaches that, oh, that high major assistant is better than that mid-major or HBCU head coach, which is insane because that HBCU head coach has, like, even in a case like mine, has coached over 350 games, you know, calling timeouts in 350 games. That's totally different than an assumption of what you think it might be because you was a high major assistant coach. So I think at this point in my life right now, I probably wouldn't go be in a high major assistant, as I totally had to. You know, something happens at Norfolk State and you got to do whatever you got to do to feed your family. But at the same time, as long as I'm in this space at Norfolk State, I probably wouldn't be a high major unless it's like some astronomical deal that I just couldn't turn down. And to this point, that hasn't been that case. So, I'm still around and I'm still here.
No doubt about it. Robert Jones, by the way, he is the HBCU National Coach of the Year. Also, yes, currently very well deserved. And the Spartans winning the CIT tournament, which is a really, really big deal as he joins us here on Box to Row. Coach Jones, as always, appreciate the candor. And we look forward to you doing some big things next year as you continue, you know, sort of this process.
Man, thank you. And once again, thank you and Box to Row for the National Coach of the Year. You know, is to have the most wins at HBCU this year with 24 was a credit to all the coaching staff, the players, you know, administration, everything, man. It's hard to get 24 wins when you got to play guarantee games and things like that. And that's tough. And as I know you know, hence why, you know, I assume why, you know, we were able to get that award from you. But it's definitely tough to go out there and get 24 games when you're playing, you know, a 30-year schedule playing against some of the big boys. So, once again, it was a great thing, man. We appreciate it. And, you know, keep doing your thing, brother. Appreciate you.
Robert Jones, the head men's basketball coach at Norfolk State, extremely candid, joining us here on the program. Look, if you remember, at the first of the year, we talked about the stigma associated with, or was there a stigma associated with coaches in HBCU football? And I think that, you know, I think that there is, even though I, as I mentioned, talk to someone prominently who said, not necessarily it's about the circle. I think it's a little bit of both. I think maybe if you're in the right circles, the right connections, you can get stuff done. But there is definitely on the surface a stigma. And look, Robert Jones said as much right there. I mean, just look at the resume. And I think the point that he really made that drove home to me was, look, take a blank slate of a mid-major program and look at what we've done as a mid-major program. Multiple postseason appearances, a couple of NITs, couple of tournaments, a couple of really, really big wins. You mentioned Alabama as one of those wins. We'll talk a little bit more about Alabama a little bit later on. A couple of conference tournaments. And that's a coach. That is a coach that would be getting some jobs. Now, I'm sure he's getting some looks, as he mentioned he is. But does it make sense to leave a good situation at Norfolk State where, you know, 10 years in, building upon the success that Norfolk State had going back to, what was that, 2012, when Norfolk State with Kyle O'Quinn beat Missouri? Norfolk State was a number 15 seed, beat Missouri, a number 2 seed. He was an assistant coach on that team, taking that momentum and continuing it on as a consistent program, a consistent contender. I think only one losing season in all of his 10 years. I think that point was driven home, and it is unfortunate that a lot of the coaches asked Lavelle Moten about this when we had him on the program back in February, you know, about some of the opportunities maybe that he's had. But I mean, I think some of his opportunities, I think for both of them, the right opportunity has not come along. Okay. And that's unfortunate. Now, in other words, the right opportunity would be, and look, it's all Division I, right? But we do separate between major, mid-major, Power Six, all of that. You know, it's probably not, neither one of them have had probably opportunities that would make sense to leave where they are. And I do think that's unfortunate. I look at what both of them are doing, but specifically Robert Jones in this instance and what he's done the last couple of years, it really, really is a shame. Look, the Women's Division I HBCU All-America team was announced. Kiara Wheeler was of Norfolk State. Speaking of Norfolk State, named the HBCU National Player of the Year. Jackson State head coach Tamika Reed named the HBCU National Coach of the Year, her third time receiving that award. We had her on the program last week. And also Diamond Johnson received the HBCU Impact Player of the Year award. And you can view the All-America team at BoxToRow.com. We'll be back.
Find the Box to Row YouTube page for conversations with stars like Omari Hardwick, Brandy, Michael Strahan, and with some of our favorite sports guests over the years. Box to Row. Box to Row. Box to Row.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. Shout out to some of our areas where teams are playing in the NCAA tournament. For instance, look at UNC, even though UNC fell. Buzz Sports Radio in the Triangle here in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. Those that listen to us, how about in Birmingham on WSYP? Alabama's still in this thing. Again, thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. And as intriguing as the game between, and talk about those two teams, those are the two teams, or two of the teams that played in the Sweet 16 on Thursday. And look, I think as intriguing a matchup as it was, and it was an intriguing matchup because I think, you know, we got to remember about Alabama. This was a team that was in, maybe underperformed a little bit last year, losing to San Diego State in the Sweet 16 and with maybe the best player in college basketball. So, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, maybe, the, you know, they were in a lower seed, and Carolina was a number one seed coming into that basketball game. I didn't see that game as an upset at all. But I think, to me, the most intriguing game of at least Thursday night and the one that lived up, and I really wanted to see, like I'd been kind of following Clemson throughout the course of the season. Now, Clemson had some up and down moments. This is a look, when you think about Clemson, you're thinking about football first and foremost, and then maybe even baseball. Okay, basketball hasn't been really relevant. As a matter of fact, now that Clemson's in the Elite Eight, the last time that the Tigers were in the Elite Eight was 1980. So, I mean, they've had some moments here and there, but not consistent. And so when you think about Clemson, and really not even, you think about not consistent, at times not a very good basketball program, quite frankly. And so when you think about Clemson getting to this point and an opportunity to get to the Elite Eight, you know, Arizona certainly has, at least to that point, and really even losing to Clemson, right, had a good season. was a number two seed. Some opportunity, I guess, is the point that I'm making with respect to Clemson. And look, I tell you what, you know, as I watched that game, and I mostly, you know, Clemson jumps out to the lead, was up to double digits, and you knew Arizona was going to eventually make a run, and the Wildcats did make a run, and it became a nip and tuck affair down the stretch. I thought overall, just too many three-pointers attempted really by Arizona and too many misses. Arizona was 5 of 28 from three-point range. And more so than that, it was when Arizona took the three-pointers and missed. As the game really got tight, to me, I could feel and could see that Arizona was pressing a little bit because Clemson withstood a couple of runs by Arizona. You look at a time when it looked like maybe Clemson was going, I'm not going to say pull away, but Clemson may was going to take control of the game. Arizona came back. As a matter of fact, Arizona in the second half took a one-point lead and tied the game a couple of times there in the second half. But Clemson hit some big buckets, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But as that was happening, and then Clemson started to actually take control of the game, it seemed like the Wildcats sensed that. And so instead of, you know, look, you're down 2 points, you're down 3 points, maybe you're down 4 points if you're the Wildcats, instead of taking those 2 points, because I thought Arizona had a, you know, certainly had an advantage on the inside. As a matter of fact, I mean, even if you look at, some of the numbers, I mean, from a rebounding standpoint, I mean, Arizona dominated in the rebounding department, out-rebounded Clemson by like 8 rebounds, but even more importantly, had like 17 offensive rebounds. And, you know, Clemson didn't have a lot of offensive rebounds, but there was a stretch in the game in the second half where Clemson had like 3 offensive rebounds in a row, couldn't put the ball in the basket, but still was able to withstand what Arizona was trying to do and the run that Arizona was trying to make. So I felt like the Wildcats were pressing a little bit, especially as the game got down the line. And look, even, you know, you had a bit, it was a 5-point game with a little more than 90 seconds remaining. Clemson was up, and you had a big 3-point, actually it was a 6-point game. You had a big 3-pointer to pull to within 3. But Arizona or Clemson continued to, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry, it was up 5. Arizona was down 5, hit a 3 to pull to within 2. And that was with just inside of a minute remaining in the game. So, you know, Arizona was right there. But then I tell you what, you look at the play, and it was a number of different guys in this basketball game, but Chase Hunter was huge in this basketball game. And that scenario that I just mentioned, where Arizona pulled to within 2, you had an absolutely, I mean, just a big play by Hunter, a 3-point play. He completes the 3-point play, an acrobatic layup, and that put Clemson back up by 5. And at that point, the game definitely was over. I thought there were some opportunities, again, to get a little bit more specific. Game was tied at 56 with about 10 minutes to play. But then you had Hall and Shefflin were big for Clemson. Hunter, he had the 18 points. He led the way. And he had the big shots, especially that and one at the end. But it was the play of Hall and Shefflin there, especially middle towards the, you know, from, I would say, from about 15 minutes to about 8 minutes remaining in that second half. I mean, those guys were really, really good, including at the 10-minute mark, back-to-back shots by Hole, then Shefflin, a two-pointer and a three-pointer, and it put Clemson up by five. And I thought that's where Clemson started to assert itself, started to have the confidence, started to kind of, I'm not going to say take control of the game at that point, but that's where you felt like, okay, maybe Clemson. And then, you know, when we went to the under eight media timeout, and specifically with 7 minutes and 58 seconds remaining, I said, Clemson's going to win this game. You know, you just had the feeling the way that Clemson was playing. And again, Arizona came back, maybe tied the game, but could never get over the hump and then sort of really continued to press. So that was a really impressive win by Clemson. And when you get to this point in the season, every team has the ability to make the Final Four. And I think the way Clemson plays as a team, you know, it's just a good team. And having followed them a little bit during the season and to see in those moments and in that moment for Clemson to step up and do what it did, I thought it was really, really big. Again, each time Arizona would get to within a possession, either it would press or Clemson would actually hit a big shot. And I thought it was a really, really good basketball game. Yeah, UNC and Alabama, that's a good game as well. UNC had some opportunities in that game. I don't look at that game as an upset. I think Alabama's got a really, really good program. It's a program that was in the Sweet 16 last year, lost to San Diego State, who we'll talk a little bit more about that UConn-San Diego State game. But look, you know, I think UNC had a good team, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't really see UNC as a dominant team. You know, let me look at my bracket real quick. I did not actually have UNC as a Final Four team. I actually did have Arizona. I had UNC taking on Arizona in the Elite Eight, and obviously way wrong there. Matter of fact, my sheet is all messed up because I had in the Sweet 16 UNC and Grand Canyon and then Baylor and Arizona. But look, I didn't feel like, you know, you got Davis, Bacote. You know, it was a solid team. It was a bounce back team. Again, you go look at UNC a couple of years ago, making the run all the way to the national championship game. Last year was not good at all for the Tar Heels, and to come back this year to play well, didn't win the ACC tournament, made it to the championship game, and then to get that number one seed, it was more of a bounce back year. But I think, you know, I think UNC is going to be right back at this point next year. You know, I mean, I know they're going to be missing some guys, but I think Hubert Davis, you know, is doing a good job with the program. UConn, is there anybody? It's hard to do back-to-backs. Like Florida was the last to do back-to-backs. What was that, 07, 08, 06, 07, whatever it was. And it's hard to do back-to-backs. And so I'm looking at UConn, but the thing about UConn is absolutely dominating its opponents. So I don't know if the Huskies can do back-to-backs. I know they obliterated San Diego State. That's a good program. And we'll see, but this tournament is really, really good. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Robert Jones, the head men's basketball coach at Norfolk State. Thank you to Chris Wright, the head men's basketball coach at Langston, for joining us today here on the program. For more information on Box to Row, log on to our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support your Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
Sure, he a man for you anytime you need me. For real, girl, it's me in your world, believe me. Nothing make a man feel better than a woman. Queen with a crown, that be down for whatever. There are few things that's forever.
my lady. We can make war or make babies. Back when I was nothing, you made a brother feel like he was something. That's why I'm with you to this day, boo, no frontin'. Even when the skies were gray, you would rub me on my back and say...